Okay. Learn, do, share. The conversations. Today we ask David Gravina and Lance Weiler about their experiences at the cross-section of design science, storytelling, collaboration and social innovation. Dave is the founder and creative director of Digital Eskimo, a Sydney-based, human-centred design consultancy. Lance is a storyteller, experienced designer and co-founder of Reboot Stories, an innovation engine for digital literacy, cross-generational learning and social change. In this first part, they're telling us about their work and current projects. Let's start with Dave.
Yeah, okay. Well, Digital Eskimo is a strategic design consultancy. We use a co-design approach, which is based on research and grounded in human-centered design methodology to work with our clients and their communities to develop strategies around business innovation, around communication challenges, engagement strategies, and really ultimately to solve problems through design. Our particular interest is in using design to create positive change in the world. So we're passionate about working on social problems and challenges in that space, and working on issues related to climate and obviously the interrelationship between those two things, and leveraging, business entrepreneurship to affect those areas of society. That's what we're particularly passionate about.
Yeah, right. Awesome. Hey, Lance, how did you start working with the audience as collaborators?
I had been making films and doing television, and I felt very limited by the running times and the commercial breaks and just the restrictions, and I felt like it was missing this larger opportunity, which was this, real time or near real time connection with people globally. And so I started to do more experimentation into running different things that would involve data. I did I'm doing a project called Pandemic, which takes pandemic data and actual pandemic data, models off of it, does certain types of gameplay, looks at how things are spreading socially, and changes modernizes certain public health messaging so it's more relevant to different demos. But also, looking at like hyperlocal and global design, so you can see how there's a cause and effect between it, and seeing how groups of people collaborate with each other. We had started a thing called Learn, Do, Share, which was a continuation of a project that I had run for 6 years called the Workbook Project. And the Workbook Project kind of marries open source philosophy with creativity and the idea of how do we fund, create, distribute, and sustain, in an effort to make interesting work and celebrate, culture. And so that ran for 6 years, and now it's kind of morphing into a second phase, which is more kind of taking some of the things that were going on with the social innovation that we were already doing and marrying it more to participatory culture, and then became more interested in this idea of social innovation, like a social innovation engine. So we created a thing called Wicked Solutions for a Wicked Problem, where we've run it a number of different times, and it's kind of a think and do lab that drops into a certain area and works on a local problem. And then from there, we'll R&D that problem with a group of people from very, game designers, storytellers, educators, mm-hmm. policymakers, hackers, just a whole bunch of people who are affected by the problem, all coming together and working through some design thinking stuff.
Right, yeah. There's a lot of crossover with some of the areas we have been exploring over the years. We've definitely, our whole design ethos and process is deeply rooted in the notion of co-creation, which is born from participatory design principles, and so that really drives all of our projects. And then what we've been able to do, I guess, is combine that with the agency model. So a number of client projects have benefited from that methodology, but we also have self-funded our own experimentations in the ideas of embedded in that philosophy, which is always exciting to see what comes out when you do open your process and see yourself as a facilitator of a co-creation process with the community, which is just a fascinating thing to be involved in, I think. And obviously, you know, I do believe that Ezio Manzini said it, you know, that the a sustainable society, whatever that is, whatever that looks like, will be a social learning process, and we'll experiment our way towards whatever future that we're heading for, and it'll be bottom up, grassroots, and it's becoming more and more clear for me in terms of Australian politics and Australian and in the Australian context that there'll be very little leadership and very little top-down solution or fundamental change. Won't come from up top, but it'll be the grassroots, bottom-up, community-led changes that will drive our shifts, the shifts that need to happen. And it is actually already happening. So, you know, through some of my involvement with the transition movement and an NGO we set up a while ago, Live Local, which was all about experiments in local living. We set it up 3-4 years ago. Localization started to become more and more a meme that you hear about and infuses in the hyperlocal is part of that. And there's this kind of awakening of localization as a solution to all sorts of social problems. The big one in particular for me is its impact on or its response to climate change. It's really experimenting in itself, just a low budget attempt at playing around with the idea of storytelling on local experiments. So I find all that, yeah, really fascinating. I think this is an exciting place to be working and applying design process as a facilitation technique or method to encourage everyone to be designers, really, and to design their future, which is, you know, what people want to do anyway.
One thing that I've been really kind of fascinated by lately is this idea of using story as an R&D method, you know, because I feel like story is this one thing that is universal. You know, it's been around for thousands and thousands of years, and it's what creates a degree of empathy and helps people to be able to relate to somebody else that they might not otherwise be able to do so. And I think that element of storytelling is really exciting. I mean, I think some of the stuff that we're doing, we have this one project called Robot Heart Stories, and it focuses on climate change. It focuses on a number of different interesting areas of just the environment and sustainability. But at its core, it's really about this idea, by doing an experiential education kind of effort that is focused primarily on children, can you influence behavior by adults? And can you make can you do these interesting kind of almost like micro agents of change by kind of getting the kids really excited about learning? And we did a beta test last fall where two different groups of at-risk kids, one group in Montreal, one group in Los Angeles, worked together to move a connected plush toy. There was a robot who was a scientist from another planet, and her planet is in horrible condition. All the inhabitants live underground, and only robots work the surface. And she's come to Earth in hopes of not only saving Earth, but also saving her own planet. And so she's here like a fish out of water, a hero's journey kind of thing, making her way around the world, documenting these different things, just pulling data points. And so she actually does really pull data points. She has like sensors, and she has the ability to read air quality and the ability to read temperature and altitude and geolocation. And the kids over a 10-day period helped her travel over 2,000 miles to 56 different locations, all, by igniting their imaginations.